Hello, this is Janice, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the October 2nd issue of the River Rock Times on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Black Rock History Museum Fall Speaker Series set. The kickoff of the 2025 Fall Speaker Series begins Thursday, October 2nd at the BRHS Museum, 436 Amherst Street at 6 p.m. William E. Butler III, president of the museum, says this year's lineup highlights fascinating local history as part of the ongoing celebration of the 200th anniversary of the opening of the Erie Canal. The first installment will be hosted by Dave Chatt, a retired mechanical engineer who now spends his time as operations director of the Lockport Locks Heritage District, supporting Lockport's famous Flight of Five Locks, which are considered one of the Erie Canal's greatest feats of engineering. The upcoming presentations include October 9th, Meet the People of the Erie Canal Black Rock Stop. Speaker Mary Ann Kedron, Ph.D. of BRHS. The audience will learn the history of the Black Rock Stop along the Erie Canal and meet some of the store owners, factory workers, and canal workers. From the Argus brothers to Mr. Merkel, the Cooper, each played an important role in the making of the community. October 16th, the evolution and transformation of commerce, industry, and the workforce in Black Rock. From then to now, Speaker Paul Rubienecki, Ph.D., BRHS. The village of Black Rock, even before the construction of the Erie Canal, was a thriving trading post and commercial center. Rubienecki will discuss how the canal fostered the growth of industry and, with the influx of an immigrant workforce, Black Rock became a vital economic force locally and nationally. Although the economic foundation has changed, the Black Rock community continues to thrive. On October 23rd, Riverside Farms to Erie Canal Table, a history of Riverside we bet you never knew. Speaker Mary Ann Kendron, Ph.D., PRHS. Crowley, Eckert, Esser aren't just streets in Riverside. At the time of the Erie Canal, they were farms. Kendron will talk about the farms in Riverside as well as those along Cornelius Creek. A first look at a long-lost heritage of Riverside, beginning the original Farm to Erie Canal Table Entrepreneurs. Judge sides with city in lawsuit, but no major road projects here, by Amber Healy. Despite agreeing with Acting Mayor Chris Scanlon and Fillmore District Council member Mitch Nowakowski, a judge's ruling last week is unlikely to free funds that would have paid for road and sidewalk improvement projects across the city of Buffalo. Judge Emilio Cavoa ruled that the city's controller, Barbara Miller Williams, overstepped her authority by refusing to award bonds for capital improvement projects in excess of the $28 million she said was her office's debt ceiling limit. In December, the city passed a $110 million budget. Miller Williams was out outspoken in her opposition to the budget and refused to sign off on bond notices, even if projects would have been eligible for federal or state reimbursements. In his ruling, Judge Kaliakova said Miller Williams tried to govern from her position, a task that is restricted to the city's executive and the legislature. It is a non-delegable prerogative that cannot be usurped. Regardless of her intentions, by inserting herself into this process, the comptroller exceeded her mandate and failed to abide by her ministerial role as provided in the city charter, according to various reports. While the conclusion of the lawsuit filed last month means the city can begin bidding projects and awarding contracts, it is unlikely many road and sidewalk improvements will begin soon. Typically, roadwork projects take place in the warmer months and are completed for the year by mid-November, explained North District Council member Joe Gollenbeck. While the weather has been unseasonably warm, he doubts any new projects will be attempted in the next few weeks. If we sell the bonds today and do the bids time-wise, I think construction season will typically end on November 15th, so I don't think we will be able to get much of anything in this year. During the September 17th Rediscover Riverside meeting, Gollenbeck expressed his frustration with the delays. "I'm not happy because for us, a few streets that were supposed to be done this year are not getting done," he said, referring to the Black Rock and Riverside neighborhoods. That also includes Grant and Amherst and some additional streets in the neighborhood. He had been notified by some residents that afternoon that sidewalk repairs were being undertaken within the district, but it wasn't to the extent he expected to see this year across North District. Hochul signs bill establishing Skagit Heritage Area by Amber Healy. A bill sponsored by State Senator Sean Ryan and State Assemblyperson Jonathan Rivera creating the Skagit Heritage Site was signed into law by Governor Kathy Hochul late last week. Introduced last March, the bill creates a corridor located between the Niagara River, Niagara Street, Forest Avenue, Delaware Avenue, Delavan Avenue, Main Street, Jewett Parkway, Parkside Avenue, Nottingham Terrace, and Amherst Street, or such other geographic corridors established by an approved management plan. A press conference is scheduled for Friday morning to discuss the designation and its importance to the community. The stated purpose of this designation is to provide governance, oversight, sustainability, and expansion of the targeted historic area for purposes of preservation, tourism, and enhanced economic development opportunities for the city of Buffalo and Western New York. The next step will be to create a commission dedicated to the preservation, restoration, and adaptive reuse of all existing historic properties, landscapes, and landmarks within the project area and stimulate the revitalization and redevelopment of the designated area. Heritage areas are typically linked with new interest and reinvigorated investment, as can be witnessed in the Michigan Street Corridor and other parts of the city. leaders of the effort to secure that designation for Michigan Street downtown worked closely with local officials and historians on their application. Earlier this spring, Marianne Kedron, a member of the subcommittee of the Black Rock Historical Society's Preservation Committee, who was involved with researching the benefits of creating the Heritage District, said the distinction will highlight the historical and cultural importance of the area, stretching from the War of 1812 encampment in Black Rock Harbor through the development of the Erie Canal and the 1901 Pan Am Expo, and the cultural contribution of Sportsman's Tavern, which just celebrated its 40th anniversary, and the redevelopment and redesigned AKG Art Museum. By working together and bringing to the same table all the interested organizations that want to make this part of Buffalo a thriving, walkable, vibrant community where people are encouraged and enticed to spend time visiting museums and learning about the city's history, it would create a cohesive vision for the future in which all parties would benefit, Kendron said earlier this year. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the River Rock Times on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. DOT responds to Skagitwa funding concerns before GBNRTC vote on amended transit list by Amber Healy. It's time to move the Queen City forward and focus on the Kensington Expressway before the state can invest the same attention and funding to a comprehensive adjustment to the current alignment of the Skagitwa Expressway. The New York State Department of Transportation, NYSDOT, has responded to the more than 200 comments submitted on the Amended Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP, from the Greater Buffalo Niagara Regional Transportation Council, as it pertains to funding for both the Kensington Expressway, Humboldt Parkway project, and proposed changes to the Skagitwa Expressway. In May, residents and advocates called on citizens to submit comments on the proposed TIP, which is renewed and amended every 3 years, after $100 million in funding for changes to the Skagitwa were moved from active to an illustrative projects list, indicating it was no longer something to be worked on imminently or with any specific time frame. During a meeting later this summer, DOT promised to respond to the comments submitted by residents. That response was issued Monday morning, emailed directly to all those who submitted statements, and a copy was posted on GBNRTC's website, detailing how the DOT intends to move forward on the major roadway projects in Buffalo. The amended TIP and the statement from the New York State DOT can be found at gbnrtc.org/TIP. In light of a court decision earlier this year that suspended work on the Kensington Expressway that had been in its early stages and would have involved capping part of the expressway and turning it into a tunnel, DOT is complying with the judge's order and conducting a full environmental impact study, or EIS. That project will now be called Queen City Forward, which will begin with an outreach and listening series beginning in fall 2025, DOT says. The goal of this initial outreach is to collect and consider input from as many people as possible before determining the best course of action for the Kensington Expressway and Humboldt Parkway, while also conducting a national search for a new project director. Funding for the EIS, which will also include multiple alternatives based on the community engagement, is included in the TIP as amended and also available for review on the GBNRTC's website as of Monday. New York State DOT adds that the options to be considered include a possible fill-in option, which the residents closest to Humboldt Parkway have advocated in support of for years. Skagitwa change is now on hold. As for the Skagitwa, the DOT says that project is still a priority, but the Kensington-Humboldt matter must be dealt with first. The court's decision not only impacted plans for the Kensington Expressway, but also the Skagitwa Expressway project, DOT says. New York State DOT has committed to further study the future of the Skagitwa Expressway once the Queen City Forward EIS is complete. This New York State DOT-led study will build upon the region control planning process completed by the GBNRTC-led team. In the interim, the current geometric makeup of the corridor will remain in place, which includes the current 30-mile-per-hour posted speed limit. The funding for the design and construction phases for this project will be included in the illustrative section of the TIP. Once the environmental process is complete and New York State DOT is ready to proceed with the design and construction phases, we have been assured that the necessary funding will be in place. TIP vote scheduled for next Wednesday. GBNRTC originally had a meeting scheduled for this week, during which it was expected a vote on the amended TIP would take place. Now that meeting will be rescheduled for October 7th at 1 p.m. in the Great Room of the Hansa Workspace, 505 Ellicott Street, Buffalo, confirms Mike Finn, GBNRTC's executive director. The meeting will be available for live streaming. The GBNRTC will vote on the TIP at that time, he says, adding that there will be the opportunity for public comment at the beginning of the meeting before the amended TIP is voted on. He also clarified that representatives to the GBNRTC include people speaking on behalf of Erie County officials, local state legislators, and the mayor's office. That includes State Senator Sean Ryan and State Assembly Member Jonathan Rivera, who sent a joint statement to the GBNRTC in August asking for the TIP vote to be delayed until after the mayoral election in November. Finn stressed that it is not a foregone conclusion how the board will vote. I can't predict how the members are going to vote. We as the staff try to provide them with as much information as they need to deliberate in advance of their voting. But their vote is their vote, he says. He says the amended TIP is consistent with what the DOT has said about the Kensington and Skagit-Gweda projects, including during a press conference a few weeks ago in which Queen City Forward was introduced. Conflicting views on Skagit-Gweda funding. During that process, Rich Fontana, a special assistant to the commissioner of the DOT, spoke about the Skagit-Gweda project, saying, DOT has not forgotten about the possibility of transforming that roadway as well. At this time, however, our priority now is the Kensington Expressway. Unfortunately, the legal proceedings surrounding the Kensington Expressway have impacted our plans related to the Skagit-Gweda. Instead of beginning a study of the Skagit-Gweda corridor this year as we originally intended, our focus is now on starting a new EIS for the 33. The Skagit-Gweda study and corridor improvement project will remain on the regional TIP as a future potential project. Let me be clear, when a project on the 198 is ready for construction, funding will be in place to advance the project. The reassurance will not please everyone, and Jim Gordon, treasurer and data analyst for Citizens for Regional Transit, calls it a false statement. This is an either-or. Skagit-Gweda project can't be both in the TIP and not in the TIP at the same time. The Skagit-Gweda project was removed from the TIP. It can't remain in the TIP because it is no longer in the TIP, nor is it in the draft TIP, he says. New York State DOT appears to want the public to think the Skagit-Gweda project is still in the TIP, but they kicked it out of the TIP already. The Skagit-Gweda project is in the illustrative projects category. The honest thing for Rich to have said would have been New York State DOT is keeping the Skagit-Gweda project in illustrative projects, and they are not going to fund it now. New York State DOT did not say where the money for the project went or where it will come from in the future, if ever. Caregivers, advocates, community members invited to free in-person and virtual forum at UB on the sandwich generation. Researchers, patient advocates, elder law attorneys, and community organizations will share their expertise. Balancing the needs of aging parents while still caring for children and supporting a family is a tough challenge, and one that an ever-growing number of families are facing. The challenges and opportunities of caregiving across the generations are the focus of the Sandwich Generation, Balancing Care for Parents and Children, a free public symposium that the University of Buffalo is holding on Wednesday, October 8th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences at UB 955 Main Street, Buffalo. Caregivers, community members, policymakers, advocates, and others working in this space are invited to attend. Free registration for both in-person and virtual attendees is available online. Sponsored by the UB Office of the Vice President for Health Scientists, the event offers knowledge, resources, and connections to help build a more supportive ecosystem for all. Allison Brashear, MD, Vice President for Health Scientists and Dean of the Jacobs School, will make opening remarks. Topics are keynote series of lived experiences, 8:40 to 10 a.m., featuring caregivers who will discuss navigating the complex realities of supporting loved ones at both ends of the age spectrum. Speakers include Mary Brennan Taylor, adjunct faculty member in the Jacobs School, and Robert Waller, PharmD, clinical advocate professor in the School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences, both from Team ALICE, an interdisciplinary research, interprofessional education, and advocacy initiative that seeks to protect older adults from medication harm. Abigail S. Green, MD, clinical assistant professor of psychiatry in the Jacobs School. Carl Kara Weiss, PhD, assistant professor in the UB School of Nursing. And Nicole Hinchey, DDM, assistant dean for clinical affairs in the UB School of Dental Medicine. Understanding legal processes from 10 to 10:50 a.m. An attendee will learn how current laws and caregiving regulations impact families with guidance on navigating guardianship, advanced care planning, and workplace protections. Speakers are Caleb Mammon, supervising attorney of Neighborhood Legal Services, Sarah Hedden, and Kevin Quinn, managing attorneys of the Center for Elder Law and Justice. The New York State Master Plan for Aging, from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Greg Olson, Executive Director, New York State Office for the Aging, will discuss the state's bold vision for aging services and what it means for caregivers today and in the future. And community resources will be 11:40 to 12:20 p.m. Speakers include Randy Hoke, Erie County Commissioner of Senior Services, Allison Lawson, Vice President of Healthy Living YMCA, Kathy Wild, Director of Marketing and Public Relations, Alzheimer Association of Western New York, Collaborative, and Briar Pinto, PhD, President and Owner of All Well, a home care agency. Scott Scanlon of the New York and Michigan Solutions Journalism Collaborative will moderate. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from the October 7th issue of the River Rock Times. Your reader has been Janice. Thank you for listening.
morning. Welcome to another broadcast day on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, a private not-for-profit organization. Radio Reading volunteers broadcast daily readings of newspapers, magazines, and books to blind and print handicapped persons who are provided reading radios throughout Western New York and Southern Ontario's Niagara Peninsula. As always, please stay with us.